You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Oh, no.
Ah, that's the sound of someone who's misplaced...
my debit card.
Their debit card.
Where did I leave that thing?
Not at the gas pump, or the checkout counter, or the roof of your car. Now, if he has the Chase mobile app, he can use Card Lock.
Wait, I could just lock my card.
Yep, just a few tippy taps on his phone, and... that sound? That's peace of mind from Chase.
Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A., member FDIC.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Crawfish season is finally here, and your number one crawfish supplier is ready now with two locations. The Landshark and the Velvet Ditch Seafood Daiquiri and Sports Bar, North Mississippi's largest crawfish supplier. The Velvet Ditch Seafood's delicious menu features prime filet, char-grilled oysters, crab legs, shrimp, lobster, catfish, and specialty cocktails and daiquiris. For Oxford's best seafood, choose the Landshark off Jackson Avenue behind Chick-fil-A and the Velvet Ditch Seafood Daiquiri and Sports Bar, University Avenue at South Lamar. Your number one crawfish supplier in North Mississippi.
I tell my kids, you do your part, I'll do mine. That's teamwork. It's the same thing I tell my clients. It's their job to get well. It's my job to get them the most money possible to do just that. I want you to get back to enjoying the life we all love here in North Mississippi. If you're hurt in a traffic accident, an 18-wheeler wreck, or have insurance trouble, call 601-720-3541. That's my cell. If you call, I'll answer.
Make your first call to the Hearn Law Firm.
This is Caden Prescorn.
This is JJ Pete Gies.
Hey everybody, this is Jackson, our Ole Miss quarterback. You're listening to the Red and Blue Crew with Dave and Brad.
Welcome to the Red and Blue Crew podcast, the source for all Ole Miss sports news, rumors, and innuendo. Are you ready? From the Inside the Rebels studios, let's get ready to rumble. Now here are your hosts, David Johnson and Brad Logan.
Welcome to Michael Katz from the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Does a great job covering Ole Miss in all aspects.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Talked a little bit in pre-production. Austin Simmons is the guy at quarterback, and he is the one that when I'm asked, you're asked, and everybody's talking about how's he doing, How's he looking and that sort of thing?
I think it's if anything, it brings me back to a point that I think kind of gets a little lost is just how polished Jackson Dart was last year. This was a 3-year starter who led the nation in efficiency and all these different things, and expecting Austin, who we know is supremely talented. We've seen him throw a football. It's spectacular. But expecting him to come in and not make mistakes, I think, is kind of unfair. And so, Jackson did not make many mistakes over his last 2 years. He threw 11 picks his first year, 11 total the next two. That first year could be tough. It's going to be tough for anybody. So, that being said, Austin, it sounds like he has had his ups and downs. I think the term Lane said was critical mistakes or critical errors, but he was quick to say he rebounded from that, and I think that was probably important to know that he didn't just kind of fall apart from there. But listen, I think you can look at it a couple different ways. It's one, if the defense is as good as we think it might be, then maybe that's a good thing, because if they're making Austin Simmons's life difficult, they're going to make life difficult for a lot of quarterbacks. But two, Austin has never started a game. I think it's a lot easier to throw on air in practice and warmups than it is when the bullets are flying. And I think for him to have some mistakes, like Lane alluded to, isn't the worst thing. If your first mistakes come in a game, I think that can be a problem. But now you've got 2 weeks to work things out and to work on it. So I know people are I don't know if I'd say up in arms, but maybe a little concerned. With Austin, I don't think there's anything to be concerned about. He's just a young quarterback, and Ole Miss had elite veteran quarterback play last year, and I think it's just bound to be different.
Let's stay on the quarterback just for a minute. With a healthy Austin Simmons, is there a package for Trinidad Chambliss in your opinion?
I would have to imagine so, if nothing else, because Lane isn't one to give away scheme and secrets and whatnot, but he was asked if he envisions Austin running like Jackson did, and I believe he said no, which maybe he runs for 1,000 yards now, who knows? But they are different quarterbacks, and Austin's mobile. There's no question he can move, but I don't think they want him lowering his head and throwing his shoulder the way Jackson did. When you bring in a guy like Chambliss, who, he's from a Division II school, but was extremely productive there. He won the national championship last year. I think he ran for 25 touchdowns, something like that, and 1,000 yards. You have to think that there will be packages for him, just to take a little, some of that running pressure off of Austin. Of course, when you've got a guy who can also throw it like Chambliss can, again, he had nice passing numbers last year too. It's not just an automatic run when he's in. I think you've got a little bit more of a threat there. So again, it's hard to tell, but it's hard for me to see Austin running the way Jackson did, just because I don't think they want to put him in situations like that. And when you have a quarterback who can take some of that off of him, I think you kind of have to do it.
I was very impressed. I'm curious your thoughts on this. For Media Day, I know you had a chance to visit, like we all did, with Austin Simmons. Quiet confidence, I think, would be a good description of Austin. But what I was very impressed with is I asked him specifically, what's it going to be like filling the shoes left by Jackson Dart? And he very politely said he doesn't look at it like filling shoes. He kind of wants to pave his own path. Just curious, what's your thoughts when you had a chance to visit with him the other day for Media Day?
Yeah, he's a really impressive kid. He's young. I know he graduated high school 2 years early, but he's also already got his bachelor's degree. He's a really smart kid. He's extremely mature. When I sat down and talked with him at Ole Miss's Media Days a couple weeks ago, this does not seem like a guy who's never started a college game. I mean, this seems like somebody who has been leading a team for a long time. He's different than Jackson, and he'll be the first to admit that. Jackson was a fiery, loud guy. That's just not Austin from what it sounds like. And that's not a bad thing. There's just different ways to lead. But I do think that, and Lane Kiffin made this clear too, is he doesn't want Austin to try to be Jackson, because that's just not who he is. And that's not going to be good for anybody if you're just trying to be someone else that you're not. It seems like Austin has gotten that message, and like you said, is trying to beat his own quarterback. And I think honestly, that's probably the best thing you could ask for, because I think the second you try to be someone you're not is when you start to get in trouble. I think he sounds very confident and comfortable with who he is and what he is.
The wide receiver room is one that we thought would be pretty good coming into the year. I know there's been some videos and a little bit of practice you guys have been able to see. It appears that DeShon Stribling is a real deal. The wide receiver room appears to be loaded.
It's crazy that you can lose what they lost last year. A guy in Trey Harris, who, if he hadn't been hurt, is a bullet in a cuff finalist, I think, maybe wins the award. I mean, he was incredible in his time. Second round pick, Jordan Watkins, a fourth round pick, and almost had 1,000 yards himself. Juice Wells was a 600-ish guy, yards-ish guy. And, you return Caden Lee, who had almost 900 yards quietly last year, but you bring in all of the talent they did, and it's DeShon Stribling, it's Harrison Wallace the third, and it's Deuce Alexander, it's Treylon Ray, it's all these guys who were 4-star transfers. And Lane said this is the deepest receiver room that he's had since he's been at Ole Miss. And I think, I don't know if deepest is necessarily the same as best, but at the same time, for Lane to say that with the receiver rooms that he's had, I think is pretty complimentary. Stribling he sort of reminds me of Trey Harris in body type and the way that he can play. You just got a lot of, Caden Lee can do out of the slot. You've got a lot of guys that can do a lot of different things. And Lane alluded to this a couple of days ago, where when this offense is at its best, you're rotating, right? You're rotating guys in and out, and you're going fast, and there's no drop off in the fourth quarter. When the game is potentially on the line, when you can go as deep as it seems like they can at receiver and not have a drop off, it sounds like they're the first group, whatever it ends up being, and the second group and third group, there's not going to be a huge difference. And I think that seems like it's going to be a really it's going to be quite beneficial for them at the end of games.
Trip Planner by Expedia. You were made to outdo your holiday, your hammocking, and your pooling. We were made to help organize the competition. Expedia, made to travel.
Starting a business can be overwhelming. You're juggling multiple roles: designer, marketer, logistics manager, all while bringing your vision to life. But for millions of businesses, Shopify is the ultimate partner. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world, and 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. From household names like Mattel and Gymshark to brands just getting started, build a stunning online store with Shopify's ready-to-use templates. Boost content with AI-powered product descriptions, page headlines, and enhanced photography. Marketing is easy with built-in tools for email and social media campaigns. Plus, Shopify simplifies everything from inventory to shipping and returns. If you're ready to sell, you're ready for Shopify. Turn your big business idea into with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try. Shopify.com/try.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm terrified of needles. Seriously, I can't handle them at all. Since my daughter has diabetes, if she has a low blood sugar emergency, I can give her Baqsimi, the only nasal spray that treats very low blood sugar. Baqsimi is easy to use, and even better, no needles.
Baqsimi is for people with diabetes ages 1 year and above. Baqsimi treats very low blood sugar. Do not use if you are allergic to Baqsimi or if you have a tumor in your adrenal gland, as it can cause high blood pressure, or in your pancreas, as it can cause low blood sugar. Symptoms of an allergic reaction include rash, difficulty breathing, low blood pressure, hives, trouble swallowing, swallowing, feeling dizzy or faint, cough, swelling of face, lips, or tongue, or fast heartbeat. Get medical help right away if you have a serious allergic reaction. Common side effects are nausea, vomiting, headache, discomfort in your nose, eyes, or throat, cough, or nosebleed. Discomfort may include red, itchy, or watery eyes, itchy throat, runny, itchy, or stuffy nose. Baqsimi is available by prescription only. For more information, call 1-800-423-4136.
Ask your doctor about needle-free Baqsimi today.
The recent scrimmage was not available to the media, but there were reports that leaked from that scrimmage that Austin Simmons may not have the best day, and also that offensive line may not have protected as well. I think there's probably some combinations of maybe some struggles there, but also how well that defensive front has been for Ole Miss during the preseason camp. I did speak with Bryson Sanders, as we all did, during preseason, or should I say media day on campus. He really wants to be the center. I don't know if that happens. Do they move Patrick Kutis down to center? And is there a chance a freshman like a Devin Harper could step up and get significant snaps? And
yeah, the offensive line, I think, is for me one of the biggest questions. And it's not necessarily a bad way. I'm just not sure what it ends up looking like. Again, in the scrimmage that we weren't able to see, it sounds like there were some ups and downs with them. But again, part of that is probably due to the defensive line that Ole Miss has being extremely good. And that's, again, it's if that's, you're going to see one of the best defensive lines in the country every day in practice, it's going to make you better. But, you know, I know they've had some injuries up there. I don't know about the freshman playing. I think it's possible. But, you know, they brought in a lot of transfers with experience, or, you know, guys who have at least played major ball, which would lead me to believe that they're probably going to be the ones in there. But that being said, you know, if someone's not working out, then you're going to put the best player in. If it's a freshman, so be it. I do think the center situation, you know, Kutis hadn't been practicing a ton. You know, we saw him getting snaps at center in spring, and he's you know, he's working out, doing snaps on the sideline as well. But it does seem like, I think it feels like it would be hard for it not to be Bryson Sanders, just because I think, I don't want to say they need it to be, but I think that when you recruit a guy and you sort of groomed him to be the next in line and then you don't put him in, I mean, it's kind of hard to sell the recruits, right? Like, why would you come here if you're just going to get replaced by a transfer? And I think he's a really talented kid. He's a four-star prospect. I think that it's, I think they really, I don't want to say need him to be the center, but it's hard for me to see it not being him, just because I think there's a lot riding on it.
I think good news for Ole Miss, if you remember last year, a walk-on wide receiver at running back against Florida when we were in Gainesville, which was problematic. Depth appears to be back in that running back room with the transfer of Caron Lacy. And then you've talked about Logan Diggs from Notre Dame and LSU. And then I think a guy that I'm interested in seeing is Damian Taylor, kind of a bruiser, the senior transfer out of Troy. Those are just three running backs that add some much-needed depth to the position.
It seems like they learned from last year that you can never really have too many running backs. As we saw, there were some crucial moments in games where they couldn't quite close things out. Again, when you lose three games by 13 points, it's a couple runs here and there. It's being able to convert fourth downs or goal line situations. And towards the end of the year, they just were not able to do that. It really hurt when Henry Parrish got hurt. They really kind of all fell apart from there. But they really did retool that room. I know that Logan Diggs was there last year, but he only played in one game. I almost consider him a new addition, just because I think he had one carry in the Gator Bowl last year. He's a guy that's run for 1,700 yards in his career at Notre Dame and LSU and a little at Ole Miss. He's really talented. He's a guy who you know what you're getting. Damian Taylor ran for a little over 1,000 yards last year. And then I the one I'm really interested in is Keewon Lacy, who Lane referred to as being electric. You know, Lane Kiffin doesn't always throw around compliments like that. To have him say that a guy has come in and been electric, I think that says a lot. And, you know, he was a guy they wanted out of high school too. They didn't get him initially, and then he came in from Mizzou. I think he's a really talented guy. He's got a sprinter background. I think being able to stretch things like that is going to be huge. And the crazy thing is, we're forgetting about Shekai Mills-Knight, who is like one of the best running back recruits in the country. I know he just got here because he wasn't here in the spring, but man, when you can trot out those four, I think you're feeling pretty good about things. Hopefully, avoiding a situation where, maybe not a Gainesville situation. I don't think that'd be good for anyone.
Looking at that defensive front, we talked about it a moment ago, possibly being better than we thought. I think on paper, you lose so many in Jared Ivey, J.J. Pegues, Walter Nolan, Prince Amamiela, and then all of a sudden, is this a combination of maybe their backups are better than we thought? Maybe there's a gelling process, but from everything that I know you've seen and reported and others as well, Cam Franklin looks really good right now. Xavien Harris looks to be a big time player. You throw in Deshaun Womack, the transfer of LSU. Prince Will Amamiela is a good possibility there. And then you talked about Suntarian Perkins. Defensive front may be better than we initially thought.
Again, it's kind of like the wide receiver room where when you lost as much as they did, it's hard to think of it even being a conversation that it is still very, very good. But Ole Miss has done such a good job in recent years of recruiting the defensive front, especially keeping guys from Mississippi home. Again, Cam Franklin, Eccles, Perkins. I mean, they've kept a lot of guys in the state, and I think that's a credit to Pete Golding and what he's done. And then you supplement those guys with some high-level transfers. Deshaun Womack was a five-star guy. He was one of the top recruits in the country. He didn't necessarily put it all together at LSU, but I think there's promise in what he is. And then Prince Wiluma Nielen, according to Lane, was the defensive player of the game in that scrimmage last week. So, you lose Walter Nolan, an All-American. You lose Prince Lee Umanmielen, an All-SEC guy. J.J. Pegues and Jared Ivey, and I guess at first glance, it's hard to see it coming together. But it kind of seems like they were prepared for it, right? Like they had guys behind them who were really talented. Listen, Cam Franklin was a five-star guy. Eccles a four-star guy. I mean, these guys were really, really talented. They're not bringing in no names to fill those voids, and so I think they kind of prepared for it, and they did a nice job of they knew they had some good pieces already that they had been growing in home, and then they brought in a couple of transfers to sort of eat, to bring it all together. But I guess that's a long-winded way of saying that. Is it fair to expect them to lead the nation in sacks per game and rushing defense and all those things? Probably not yet. But I think that group is going to be a problem.
T.J. Dottery, Suntarian Perkins. Is there anybody that you've seen kind of sparkle a little bit in the practice that you've been able to go to? Name that maybe some are
Well,
talking to Taj Chambers, transfer. Out of that linebacking core, who are some guys you've seen in availability for the media that's looked pretty good?
Josh Chambers is one who has admittedly caught me a little bit off guard. And maybe that's just because I hadn't done my homework a ton on him. I think when we looked at the linebackers that they brought in, it was Yates who had 120, whatever tackles it was last year, Marshall. Jones, who was a conference player of the year at Grambling. And here's Chambers, who was, I think, a second team All-Missouri Valley Conference or whichever conference he was in at Missouri State, and he's played great. He's looked the part. He's put on 20 pounds or so since he got here. I think being in an SEC weight program and nutrition program has been really good for him. He's been getting a lot of reps. I know there's injuries and stuff, but there's a reason that he's been getting reps. He's really surprised me. I was not expecting him to get as much run as it appears he has. I think that's that one has been a, I think, probably a pleasant surprise for Ole Miss.
And then the position that I've had question marks throughout the summer and leading into preseason camp is the defensive backfield. Ton of transfers. You've got Jalen Braxton, who's been injured. Sage Ryan from LSU. Nick Cole, the redshirt junior. And then Kapina Gushkin, the senior transfer. Kite, the transfer out of Auburn, has been discussed a lot and a lot in the practice reports that we've seen. Your overall thoughts on that secondary that's losing John Saunders, that's losing Trey Amos, who's playing really well in the National Football League. A lot of questions there in the secondary.
I think we kind of like the way that we took for granted how good Jackson Dart was last year. Yeah. I think we take for granted how good Trey Amos was last year. I mean, he was a lockdown SEC corner, and he's doing it in the NFL now for the Commanders. Those guys don't grow on trees, and maybe one of these guys does turn into that. But it's kind of hard to tell who it might be. Like you said, Kite has shown flashes. Again, he's a talented guy. He's played. I think that the part I probably, or Ole Miss would probably feel best about right now is probably those safeties. That seems pretty secure. It's maybe not like the extremely high end, guys, but you know, Sage Ryan's played a ton of football. Again, he's a talented guy. Kopenick Ashikin, has played a lot of football as well. Lane Kiffin compared him to Trey Washington, and Trey Washington was the guy who played here for 4 years and was really, really good, if not underrated. And Wydell Williams has looked really good too. So I think that safety group, is it a bunch of superstars? Not right now, but it looks like it's a pretty good collection. But that corner group, I'm really curious to see how that comes together, because it was just such a luxury to have a guy like Trey Amos out there last year, when you know you don't have to worry about half of the field. I don't know if they have that quite yet, and I think there's going to be games when they need it, and it's going to be interesting to see who it ends up being, when things kind of heat up.
Last year, Ole Miss was five games into the season, and quite frankly, you know, Mike, we didn't know how good they were. The schedule was very, very easy last year. This year, not an awful schedule, but there is a little bit of competition, if you will, early on as they start Southeastern Conference play the second and third week of the season against Kentucky and Arkansas. Got a very good Tulane team from John Summerall. Coach Ed Ogeron is helping him. They'll come to Oxford on the 20th before facing what many are saying one of the best teams in the conference in LSU. Kind of looking at the schedule on the front end, a little more competition than last year.
It's interesting because a lot gets made of Ole Miss's schedule being pretty favorable. And, like, you know, in the SEC scheme of things, it probably is, but they don't have the luxury of easing into things like they did last year. I mean, they were not tested those first four games. With all due respect to Wake Forest and Georgia Southern, those were not particularly competitive matchups. When your second game is Kentucky, and then you have Arkansas too, which is never a normal game. I mean, last year's was the only normal one I've really seen, and I wasn't expecting it to go the way it did in blowout fashion. That's usually a competitive game, and Tulane is you know, John Summerall, like you said, has done a tremendous job there. I think the schedule balances itself out eventually. You know, you've got Florida at home, you get South Carolina at home, get LSU at home. You only leave the state three times, but I think the way it's when you've got the non-conference games kind of interspersed throughout the schedule as opposed to being all front-loaded, man, you have to hit the ground running. I mean, I know Kentucky seems like it should be a gimme, but it should have been a gimme last year, and we saw what happened with that. So there really isn't any time to get settled in. That Georgia State game, they better be feeling good, because it's going to get real in week two and week three and week four.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin at 16 weeks. And most of those people maintain skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit Ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high-quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And then you start talking about that matchup against LSU and Oxford. The Tigers could have two losses, as they've got Florida prior to that and open up with Clemson. So the Tigers, who knows where they're going to be at that point. And Brian Kelly does not need to have another lackluster season like he had last year. Going to me, Michael, looking at the schedule, if chalk prevails, Ole Miss is probably 9-3. I don't think they'll be a favorite against Georgia, Oklahoma, and then LSU. But chalk obviously didn't prevail last year if you look at what happened with Florida, with Georgia, and then, of course, with Kentucky. Looking at that Washington State game, that sets up, to me, the biggest two games. At Georgia, I don't think Ole Miss goes to Sanford and wins. Then they've got the team that everybody's talking about one way or the other, more positive than negative, and that's Oklahoma. Oklahoma is a team that the people are thinking are going to be very good. I think in order for Ole Miss to have a really good year, they've got to go on the road and beat Oklahoma at Norman. That stretch, Georgia, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Citadel, Florida, Mississippi State, what are your thoughts on the back half of the schedule?
I mean, they're going to have to earn it, right? Again, with all due respect to the Citadel, you take that one out. Those are tough games. Again, Oklahoma, we always know their defense is going to be good. Brent Venables, even when on their bad teams, their defense is going to be good. And now, when you bring the quarterback and the offense, there's no reason they shouldn't be a very, very good team. And especially on the road, I've never personally been to Norman. I've heard it's a great football environment. So that's going to be tough. Georgia, we know what happened the last time they went there. That was the game that sort of changed everything for Ole Miss in terms of how they put their team together. That was an eye-opening game, the way they got beat. And then they came back and beat Georgia the next year. So Florida, I think, is a really interesting team, too. South Carolina as well. I know a lot of people are really, really high on South Carolina. And, you know, with good reason, they had a really nice season. They've got a great quarterback in Lenora Sellers. But Ole Miss beat them up pretty good last year. I mean, that was a butt-kicking. And I know every year is different. But you get them home this year, too. So nothing is ever chalk in the SEC, but you got to feel pretty good about that one. And then Florida, kind of like Kentucky, if there was ever a game that you think this team is going to get up for, it's got to be a game like that, because Florida, that game was the end of their season, really. I mean, that the way that whole thing went down, you had the playoff, it was right there, and it just got away from them. I have to imagine they're going to be pretty up for that one. And obviously, there's been a lot of conversation about DJ Lagway and his health and all that sort of stuff. He's a superstar when he's healthy, and Billy Napier did a really nice job with that team last year. But again, you got him at home. The Swamp was a tough place to play. Again, I think you like your home field advantage. And then, you know, the Egg Bowl, you just never know what that thing's going to be, man. I think State's going to be improved from last year, especially if the quarterback stays healthy. I think Shapen's actually a pretty nice player when he's healthy. I think he can really make a difference. He was having a really nice year last year before he got hurt. And I know the expectations aren't super high for them, but you would have to think they'll be better in year two under Jeff Lebby. And, as you know, the Egg Bowl, weird things happen. The better team doesn't always win. Just sometimes it's weird coincidences that happen. And that one's in Starkville, too. So, again, that's an added element. But they're going to have to earn it late. And I know it's a quote-unquote favorable SEC schedule, but there's going to be some tough ones in there. But, you know, I've said this to a few other people, I could see this team going 9-3 and not being nearly as good as last year's team. You know what I mean?
I completely agree.
You know, I mean, this was the number two scoring defense in the country last year, the number three scoring offense, all these draft picks, two first rounders. I mean, just all this publicity and hype. And, you know, you go 9-3 in the regular season, win your bowl game, and it ends up being a nice year. I could see this team winning 8 or 9 games and not being anywhere near as publicized or, you know, statistically as good as that team last year. But, you know, everything that went wrong in close games for them last year did go wrong. You'd have to think some of that evens out a little bit. And if that does, I think they're in better shape than people think.
Yeah, you know, remember the 23 season, Lane made mention they were 4-0 in close games. Last year, I think they were 0-3. So definitely something to watch. By the way, if you haven't seen the Netflix series, I enjoyed it. The inside, it's kind of inside baseball with the Southeastern Conference teams. Not everybody participated. I know Lane was asked about that, and he had a very Lane answer as to
sure
why
did.
He did not participate. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And if you wondered if Mississippi State really doesn't like Ole Miss, just check out episode 5, and you can learn real quick. Just hold your ears when you're listening, and don't watch around young children. What game on the schedule are you looking forward to?
I am actually really looking forward to that Oklahoma game. I think that one is low-key – and that's not make or break, but I think you're going to learn a lot about Ole Miss in that game because it's on the road. It's against a team that they were, what, 18 or 19 or whatever they are in the AP Top 25. They're a preseason top-ranked team. We're going to learn a lot about Ole Miss in that game. Obviously, I'm always looking – LSU is always a barn burner. It has been the last 2 years. That's always a fun one. But I think you learn a lot about teams when they go on the road and if they can take care of business or not. They weren't able to a couple of times last year. Now, they did South Carolina, and that was to their credit, and that was a really impressive win. But, you know, they almost got it against Florida. They almost had it against LSU. I think if this team is going to win 8 or 9 games, particularly 9 games, I think that Oklahoma game is going to be huge.
And a big key on that, it's following the road trip to Georgia. Are you kind of – 8.5, are you kind of leaning 8-4, 9-3? Is that kind of where you're looking?
Yeah, I'm pretty firmly there. I would be surprised if it's 7, and I would be surprised if it's 10. I mean, I could see all those things happening because you just never know. But 8 or 9 seems about right. I think that if nothing else, Lane Kiffin's earned the benefit of the doubt with the way that he's built this program up. They've been really consistent over the last few years. An 8-win season was considered a debacle a couple years ago. I mean, imagine that at Ole Miss. That would have been a really, really good season under certain tenures. So I think that they're just a really consistent program right now. They've built up the talent. Lane, he knows what he's doing here. He knows how to win here. So it's hard for me to see them under that 8.5 significantly. I think 8 or 9 wins sounds about right. And if you're at that 9-win mark, you're in the conversation for the playoff. They were last year. There was a whole conversation about a few teams that maybe should have been in with 3 losses. If Ole Miss is in that 3-loss realm, it's hard not to see them being in the conversation, especially if they win a couple of those big games, LSU, Oklahoma, whatever it may be.
He's Michael Katz, does a great job covering the Ole Miss athletic program. Be sure to follow him on Twitter /X at Michael L. Katz, KATZ, or follow all of his work at djournal.com. That's the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Thanks, Michael, for joining us. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
Crawfish season is finally here, and your number one crawfish supplier is ready Now with two locations, the Landshark and the Velvet Ditch Seafood Daiquiri and Sports Bar, North Mississippi's largest crawfish supplier. The Velvet Ditch Seafood's delicious menu features prime filet, char-grilled oysters, crab legs, shrimp, lobster, catfish, and specialty cocktails and daiquiris. For Oxford's best seafood, choose the Landshark off Jackson Avenue behind Chick-fil-A and the Velvet Ditch Seafood Daiquiri and Sports Bar, University Avenue at South Lamar. Your number one crawfish supplier in North Mississippi.
I tell my kids, you do your part, I'll do mine. That's teamwork. It's the same thing I tell my clients. It's their job to get well. It's my job to get them the most money possible to do just that. I want you to get back to enjoying the life we all love here in North Mississippi. If you're hurt in a traffic accident, an 18-wheeler wreck, or have insurance trouble, call 601-720-3541. That's my cell. If you call, I'll answer.
Make your first call to the Hearn Law Firm.
It is a place which exerts an extraordinary pull on all who have walked its hallowed ground. Thousands come each year, and yet no one ever really leaves. Ole Miss is for life, a major university with the familiar intimacy of family. Friendships that are more than friendships, moments that are more than moments. An autumn celebration on a Saturday afternoon in the Grove. Contests waged and triumphs savored. With our largest freshman class, soaring honors college, national reputation for academics and research, our pride is overflowing. Today, more than ever, for all who have ever called this magical place home, you never leave Ole Miss.
You've been listening to the Red and Blue Crew podcast with your hosts, David Johnson and Brad Logan, the source for all Ole Miss sports news, rumors, and innuendo. From the Inside the Rebels studios, join us next time right here on the Red and Blue Crew podcast.
This is the Chase Sapphire Lounge at Boston Logan. You got clam chowder. In New York, dirty martini. Over 1,300 airport lounges and one card that gets you in. Chase Sapphire Reserve, the most rewarding card.
Learn more at chase.com/sapphire reserve. Cards issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank, and a member FDIC, subject to credit approval.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even. Like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations, because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.